Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back with another fantastic episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And this week, I've got a fantastic guest. This is a guy that I met in Lake Tahoe, Squaw Valley, and we happen to be at the Spartan World, Justin, I'm not even sure how we describe this, but
yeah, World Championships, I guess.
World Championships, yeah. I was not one of the guys that was chosen to be in the actual championship, but it was pretty crazy. It was crazy weather. It was crazy obstacles. I actually ran in the 10K going up, started in snow, then went to sleet, then went to snow, heavy snow. Then I ran into a bear. Then there's thunder. Then there's lightning coming down off the mountain. And so anyways, all in all, we had a great time. But first of all, Justin Bett, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be on. Thanks for having me, Mark. It was a pleasure meeting you in Tahoe as well.
Yeah. So I want to bring up a quick quote that I found, and it goes something like this. People often belittle the place where they were born, but heaven can be found in the most unlikely places. And the reason why I found that quote and the reason why I want to bring that up is because you are a guy that not only is a stand-up guy, a go-to guy, a good guy, but you've been an amazing dad to your four kids. And really what this whole podcast is about, and we're going to get into this with depth, is about this book and this theme that you've come up with called Daddy Saturday. And the reason why I brought up that quote is because heaven can be found in the most unlikely places. I have two girls now, 20, 21, and 23, and I spent a boatload of time with them. I was the coach of everything and all the experiences and taking them around once they got into club sports and driving and all that kind of stuff. And while at times I think many parents can get really down and overwhelmed about the amount of hours that you almost feel like you are a Uber parent, it's those little things, those moments of inspiration, those moments of joy that you get where you can never get those things back. And now I'm in a position where my kids have flown the coop. Yours are still in the nest. And I really cherish those moments and I wish I had them back. And so first of all, I want to get into Daddy Saturday. What is that all about? And set that up for us for the audience.
Yeah. So over a decade ago, my wife decided to leave the teaching world. She was a third grade teacher. And so she came to me and said, Justin, I want to leave teaching. And I said, well, you're too talented. We didn't have kids yet at the time to just stay at home. So let's get you involved in running a business and you start it. I'll fund it and let's go into it together. So she came back with a business plan and she said, it's either babies or bridal. And I said, great. You've got birth, you've got death, and you get married in between. So I love it.
Yeah,
and we ended up settling on the bridal model. And so about a year later, we opened Hayden Olivia Bridal. We named it after our daughter who was born right at the same time the store opened. This was at the beginning of the recession in 2008. So we leveraged everything we had. We opened the store. I was in corporate America at the time. And we had our little daughter, Hayden Olivia. And so I would stay home with her on Saturdays as Heather would work at the bridal store, wearing all the hats as an entrepreneur and retail being the biggest day on Saturday. And fast forward, add three boys to the mix, and I found myself at home on Saturdays with four kids. And you know, I had them all to myself the entire day to support my wife, but also engage with my kids. And I just found that, like most dads, I was working in corporate America, traveling a lot, stressed out, tired, overwhelmed, oftentimes, you know, burning the candle at both ends. And there was the end of the week was often, you know, the toughest time. I come into Friday night and then Saturday morning, waking up knowing I'm with my kids all day for 8 or 10 hours and having to interact with them and engage them. And I just wanted more. I wanted it to be a better experience to create those heavenly moments that you just talked about with my kids. So I decided to create a game plan, be intentional, be engaged, and plan our Saturdays together and make them epic, as we call them. And so we started to plan our days and engage in all these crazy activities, obstacle courses and dance parties and adventure races and riding construction equipment and you name it. We started to do everything that I could find in our home or around our community. And we even traveled a little bit. And I recognized that very quickly, my relationship with my kids, our communication, and just the growth that I was finding in their life and in my life as a father was exponentially expanding just because of being intentional on those Saturdays. And it spilled over from Saturday into the rest of the week. My relationship with my wife advanced, and it was just all around an amazing positive experience. And so I said, you know, I've got a formula here that I think other dads could benefit from. And 2 years ago, I was honored to give a TEDx on the topic of fatherlessness. And I learned a whole lot more about the huge epidemic in our country, Mark, with fathers, the biological father not being in the home, but also the physically present and emotionally absent dad, which is what I was for a period of time. And I wanted to create something that could help other dads, inspire them, encourage them, and equip them with tools to be that intentional and engaged dad and have the results that I had. And that was the birth of Daddy Saturday.
I love that. Love that. So let's get into the statistics that you're talking about in that TEDx, which I did see. Great job, by the way. So 24 million, I guess, males in America without, or 24 million kids in America without a father at home.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
Oh, it's staggering. You know, if we looked at any other epidemic in our country, diabetes or opioid abuse or anything else, I mean, if you put those numbers up against it and then looked at all the societal ills that also come from it, it would be a national epidemic by catastrophic proportions, but no one views it that way.
Yeah. And the thing that, to me, that was even more startling than that was that 49 million dads are at home, but not present. I mean, I'm not sure how you actually get that number, but I think just like, you know, like if you throw a ball in the air and you kind of start thinking about like how many guys are there and they'd rather be at the golf course or someplace else. And it's just very easy because you have all these different things that are going on. We're all busy. We have pressures from work. We've got a zillion emails. You're trying to follow up. You're trying to create a life, a better life for your kids. And at the same time, be present. And I think that for many of us becomes the challenge. And so I want to talk to you and ask you about the strategies that we can all learn in terms of, on the one side, you know, there's responsibilities, right? Responsibility, especially, you know, you live on the East Coast, you've got a house, you've got four kids, you have a wife that does work, but you at the end of the day, you got to keep the train moving down the tracks. And at the same time, you got four kids that all want your attention. Yep. So how do you balance that?
Well, you know, I think that one thing I've learned is that balance is something that I don't know that you ever achieve. I think that balance is something that you manage. You don't ever eliminate the obstacle of balance. You know, one of the biggest challenges that I had early on as a dad was I was trying too hard to find balance, and the work-life tension was tearing me up because I would either pour too much into work, then I'd feel the tension that I should be at home when I'm working, or vice versa. I'm home engaging with my kids. Now I'm feeling the tension that I should be working. Right. And so I was just this yo-yo effect. And so what I did is just establish what I like to call work-life purpose. And I created that purpose for a game plan and a long-term mission for how I wanted to see myself as a father and my kids, not only today, tomorrow, but in the future, 20, 30 years from now. And then backed it up and said, what does it take for me to get there and to achieve that? And it's no different than you climbing a mountain, right? And reaching that summit. You have to have a plan and a map and a course that you're going to take. You don't just start off on the mountain and just start trying to climb up, right? You have to have a plan and a way that you're going to get there. So that was the first thing that I did. And then the second thing was I got really tactical and just sat back and looked at my week and said, okay, where do I have margin? Where can I blend in time between my work life and my family life? And how can I bring the two together? And a really simple tip that I found that works extremely well is I took what was two calendars, my work calendar and my personal calendar, and I blended the two together. So I've got one calendar. So if I have a date night with my daughter or a date night with my wife or a ball game with my boys, it's on my calendar. My colleagues at work see that because I share my calendar. So they see what my priorities are. But it also allows me to arrange my day in a way that lets me finish up a meeting and show up at that game or that date night or whatever it is with everything done or at least turned off so I can be there and be present and engaged. So simple things like that were key. But I think more importantly, it was taking a step back and saying, what's that long range vision, long range plan that I want to have for myself as a father and for my life with my kids?
Yeah, it pays off. There's no question. I mean, to me, it's all about time spent is a correlational to the relationship that you have with your kids. And like you said, also being present and really hearing them and listening to them. And the tough thing about that is this thing called balance, right? And you just mentioned it. And the problem with balance is that we're always getting unbalanced. And so I know that there's always been this quest. It seems, well, I wouldn't say, I was going to say women have this more than men, but I don't think that's the case. But it's this whole thing about you try to get balanced, but then new things come up. There's birthdays that come up. There's events that come up. There's situations in your life that come up. There's work issues that come up that then all of a sudden you didn't know that you had to have that report, you know, filed in, you know, tomorrow at 8 a.m. So what you thought you're going to be able to do and play with your kids is now, you know, thrown aside, and you can't just, so now you're out of balance again, right? Because that's not what you had on the agenda, and you have to be willing to adapt and change. You mentioned something earlier, which was interesting, about that when you have become more intentional, that the relationship with your wife has evolved to a better place. And tell me more about that.
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. I think, you know, any wife that watches her husband engage or interact with their kids, they just have that twinkle in their eye. It's like it's a pleasurable moment for them seeing the rest of their family interact. And my wife kind of did that from a behind the scenes role. What I found were two things. So one, by me taking the kids and being there on Saturdays, it created this sense of trust, right? Where my wife said, look, I trust my husband exponentially, even though he's doing crazy things with the kids, I know that they're in good hands with him all day on Saturdays, and he's investing in them. And while I can't be there, and he's supporting me. So I think that was one thing. It was a builder of trust, but also I was supporting her and what was important to her. And that was her growing her business and being mom during the week, but being CEO of her bridal business on the weekends. And so that was a big lift. Trust and support, I think, were two things. And then additionally, you know, when I take my daughter out on a date night, of course, it'd make my wife jealous. So I found that I'd have to take her on at least, you know, an equal number, if not more, date nights than I was taking my daughter out. So it caused me to be intentional in my marriage, as well as being intentional with my kids. And that intentionality started to spill over into all areas of my life. And I found that as a result, my relationship with Heather certainly improved over time.
Yeah, I think one of the things you're talking about there is there's this great book out called The Five Love Languages. And certainly when you are giving in that way, it's a language that speaks, you know, it's not all the kid responsibility is not dumped on mom, on the wife. And therefore, you guys have better relationship, and it's much more healthy because they see you in a much better light. One of the things that I can tell you that I feel that not purposely, it's just the way it happened. And this is one of the advices that I would give my daughters going forward. And that is this whole notion around date night with your wife, right? Yeah. So for anybody out there, make that a priority. It's huge. One of the things that we did is we literally, wherever we went around the world, took them to Europe twice, constantly going on vacations, you know, to Hawaii or Mexico or someplace else. But we never, ever, ever had just a couple time. It was always with our kids. And while that was fantastic, you know, first and foremost has to be the relationship between the man and the wife. And if that's not, you know, in sync, then everything else falls apart, like what happened to me. And I'm not proud of that. And so it's just, I don't know, for the things, the gifts that I want to give my daughters is really that priority, that whoever they end up with, they make that number one and the kids are number two, equally as important, yeah, but just at a different level.
That's exactly right. I think you're 100% spot on. And I can't tell you the number of friends that we've talked to that our kids are 11, 9, 7, and 5. And every year, Heather and I make a plan to get away on a just us trip. And we have, you know, a longer extended trip, but then we do lots of multiple, it may even be just one night or, you know, a short weekend away. And we're fortunate to have my parents and my wife's parents who are more than willing to come down and take the kids. It makes it far easier when you have that. But regardless, I think a lot of couples make excuses of the fact that they can't get away because of their kids. And I would say it's a travesty and it's very damaging for the relationship because, you know, that one-on-one time is so important. And the one thing that I've found for our relationship and our marriage has been bigger than anything else is we do that at the end of the calendar year. So right around the New Year holiday, we'll get away for a couple of days. And it's my wife and I's time to reset, to plan, to have vision, to invest in each other. We set our goals for ourselves as a couple and for our family and for ourselves individually during that time. And, you know, it's a catalyst for the rest of the year and for our relationship. We've been doing that now for almost a decade. And I can tell you what we've accomplished together, 1 + 1 = 3 or 300, just by taking that one small step and that short weekend away and making the plan to do that.
It wasn't too long ago. I had this fantastic, he's a preacher. He's a pastor up in Seattle. And he came on, Pastor Richard. And one of the things he was talking about in terms of being able to really serve others is serve himself first. And by that, he meant, if a plane is going down, right, or some critical situation when you're at serious altitude, you know, they always tell you that the oxygen masks fall down, and the first thing you do is put it on yourself so that you can help your kid, right? Yep. And one of the things that we share in common is we both like to work out, right? And so you've really taken on this whole Spartan races around the country, traveling here and there. Where I met you again is up at Squaw Valley, where they were having this world championship. Great weekend, tons of energy, super fun. I was on a podcast with you. You're built like a Spartan, you know, a guy that's out there, you know, Mighty Mouse that's got a cape on his back and flying around. And so obviously you work out and you're committed to that. And I think it's really important. I mean, for me, that's like my oxygen, right? I wake up, I put my feet on the floor. I call it the FOF. First thing in the morning, I take a breath of air, brush my teeth, and I'm off to the gym. And if I don't get that, I don't know what it is about my DNA, but I just can't be right the rest of the day. I'm actually off. And so for you, again, putting that in front, it would seem like you have somewhere in there is the same mentality, because again, you've got, you're talking about this whole theme of this podcast is about Dad is Saturday and kind of working, planning, integrating your calendar, making sure it's all there, but the same, and also having time for your wife. But at the end of the day, somewhere in there, I would assume you're finding time to work out, unless you've got some freak genetics.
No, not so much. I mean, I've worked for everything I have. A lot of people, you know, look at me and they say, gosh, you're in such great shape. You know, what do you do? And I said, well, it's been 20 years of not taking more than a week off. And that was only because of an injury or, you know, being very sick in 20 years of working out. So you know, it's been a long time. I'm very disciplined by nature, and it's something that I've always done. But what I found, you know, when I was young and didn't have kids or in college, I could work out whenever I wanted to, right? You just fit it in your day and you go do it. But once you have kids, and especially with four kids and our busy and crazy life, if I didn't get up early in the morning, if I don't get up early in the morning, then I don't get it in. Because when the kids come home from school or I'm done with work at the end of the day, you know, they want all of my attention. And I've got four of them. And my wife wants my attention and my dog, and stuff comes up and we're running. So the early morning is my time to invest in myself. And I, like you, Mark, have found that if I don't get that in, then it throws everything else off. If I wake up late or I don't get my routine in the morning, the rest of my day is just discombobulated. If I'm in a hurry in the morning, I'm in a hurry the rest of my day. So I wake up, normally between 4:30 and 5 a.m., I typically will do prayer and devotional first thing, meditate, and then I'll grab a quick, like a smoothie or something real fast, and then I'm out the door and I work out for an hour, and then come back in, and oftentimes I'll be listening to a podcast, or I'll read an article or two or a quick book or something right there at the end of that, and then the kids are up and they're awake, and now I've got my time in, and I've stimulated myself physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I'm now ready to tackle my day. And I've invested an hour and a half to 2 hours in myself first thing in the morning every single day. And that for me has been a game changer and a life changer for that matter.
Yeah, I think I'm, you're my twin. We're doing a lot of the same things. And I don't know why this is, but the brain, I'm not saying that we all walk around with negative thoughts, but I think it's easy for negative thoughts or things to bug you or things to that nature to kind of drag you down. And one of the things to counteract that is to put positive messages back in your brain. And so when I think we'll keep coming back to this word because I love it, and you've come up with it, this word called intentional, right? Intentional purpose. And when you are writing things down, when you are feeding your mind full of positive thoughts and intentional things that you're going to do that day or where you want to be, it helps you shift that mindset a bit in terms of looking at things a little bit differently. But it's like all things, it's junk in, junk out. And junk can be positive and junk can be, you know, negative. And so, you know, I love to hear that you're out there doing those things. And then you're charged up, you've got the energy, you're ready to go. When your kids come at you, and you're at a busy age too. You're at that age, you know, the oldest one might be 9, right?
11.
11, yeah, 11 and 9. So you've got a bunch right in there where they're getting up. You got to help them. They're going to school. You're packing up their lunches, and then there's after school sports and all these stuff. So it's kind of a, you know, it's a zone coverage, and you got to be at your very best. So I want to talk now about father factors, okay? Because you've come up with 6 different factors that I think really can be, again, it gets back to mindset, and mindset's one of them here. But just in terms of like when we're going to take on this, and what we're saying this, we're talking about the investment into your kids so that one day they become better adults. And that's the whole goal at the end of the day. Right. So why don't we start with going through kind of one by one on the father factors?
Yeah. So, you know, I think when you look at all the father factors, there are several that are paramount. And the one that I probably talk about the most and people ask me about the most is this concept of making your kids the hero of their story and you serving as the guide. And I think it's something that both you and I can relate to, and probably a lot of your listeners, especially the males that are listening who want to be the hero, right? Whether it's to their kids or in their workplace or on the athletic field, they want to wear that superhero jersey. And what I've found in parenting is, in fact, it's quite the opposite. And it's more about being the guide rather than the hero. And like every movie that's ever been made, they follow the same script. You've got a hero, a villain, and at some point conflict occurs. You have success or you have failure, but there's a guide that serves along the way to move that hero through that phase. And you know, I think it's really critical because at that point in our society where you look at a lot of the millennials who are now starting their families or, you know, well into the workplace, and we're starting to see this as a whole, and it's not a stereotype, it's a fact that a lot of the millennials in growing up, they weren't allowed to fail. You have the helicopter parent, the snowplow parent, all the stereotypes, the bulldozer parent. And because of that lack of failure in their youth, they're now experiencing failure in adulthood, and they don't have the coping mechanisms to deal with it. They don't know how to fail fast and fail forward. And so, you know, failure at 8 is far different than failure at 28. And we'd rather see our kids fail in the constructs of a childhood failure with us there guiding them through that than into adulthood with no mechanism to deal with it. So I think being the guide is incredibly important because it allows you to help manage your kids through success and failure over time, to help build them into great adults so that they are able to deal with that in adulthood. The second thing that was totally unintended when I started doing this was I recognized that it helped me check my ego at the door. And I recognized that like I'm one of the least handy people in the world. And so, you know, hanging a picture on the wall is like a big deal for me. And my kids want me to build obstacle courses and all this stuff. And like, I try to do it, but it's just not my forte. I grew up throwing footballs and baseballs and swimming and all these other things. I didn't grow up building things. And so I've allowed other men to come into my kids' life who have expertise in areas that I don't and serve as additional guides to my children. And it's all because I'm not the hero. It doesn't matter to me. And in fact, it's a win-win-win when you do that. And so serving the guide is a critical role in making your kids the hero of their own story.
Cool. Love that. So what are examples then of, you're saying, other people or men that have come in? So you're talking about a coach. Probably. That'd be coaches, one example.
Yeah, coaches are great, right? And you know this from playing sports all those years, and especially having 2 daughters that played. I mean, you can sit there and tell them as their dad, even as their dad coach, something 7 times, and they don't listen to you, and then somebody else says it 1 time, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's exactly right. Kids just have a way of listening to other people sometimes. So it can be a great thing because they'll listen to others. I think looking at your life as a father and saying, where am I skilled? Where do I have some gaps? What am I good at? What am I not? What do my kids want experience in? What do I want my kids to have experience in that maybe I don't have expertise in? Another great example, I grew up fishing on lakes and fishing in ponds in Northwest Ohio. I don't have any experience fishing on saltwater. It's far different going out on, you know, deep sea fishing. And so we had one of my mentors who has fished on the ocean his whole life, who knows everything about it. He took myself and my kids out. We had a fabulous time. He taught them so much, taught me so much about fishing on saltwater. I never would have been able to do that nor give my kids that experience if I didn't bring literally a fishing guide into that scenario. So I think it really calls you stepping back, checking your ego as a dad and looking at your life and saying, where do I have skills? Where do I not? Where do I want my kids to have experiences that maybe I can't provide for them based on my background, my expertise.
Yeah. And one of the things that you talked about is coaching. And one of the things I had to learn, which was huge, which was this whole notion of I can't coach my kids. I mean, I was a coach for many of the different sports, but just in terms of individually, especially when they got into more club sports, of not of being their dad, not their coach. Right. And they didn't like it. They didn't want to come off. And for me to say, look, you need to swing harder or faster or anything else, just because, you know, I had a certain intention. I had a certain plan for them that would, maybe they were going to live up to that or not. It really didn't matter. They just wanted me to be their dad. So as they got older, it was a really, really critical thing for me to step out of the whole coaching world and just drive them around and just, you know, if they came off and they're frustrated or happy or sad or any other emotion, just, you know, to say, yeah, I mean, I understand what that means. And, you know, hopefully you're going to do better next time, or you did a great job, and keep it at that and keep my mouth shut. And it seemed like it really helped foster a better relationship. And then of course, out of these moments, when you have examples where you're talking about the fishing trip, where you bring in the guide and they're showing not only you, but your kids, how to throw lines and bait and everything else, you know, out in the ocean, by the way, speaking all the way at Charleston, South Carolina, here in Sun Valley, Idaho, is you have epic moments, right? Mm-hmm. And I know that from some of the videos that I've seen from you, you've got some pretty insane epic moments. Not just the run of the mill, like, hey, let's go down and get a donut. You know, it's really more about thinking in front and being creative about some of these experiences that your kids are being able to share with you.
Yeah. So I'll give you two examples. And, you know, one of the things that we try to do is create epic moments in our household. And it's not just on Saturdays. I think one easy thing that any parent can do, and I don't remember where I heard this, but I put it in a place years ago, and it's so simple, yet it's so impactful, is, you know, I'm often almost always up before my kids. And so when they come out in the mornings, I greet them like they're running through the tunnel of a locker room coming into the, you know, the big game. My arms are up in the air. My arms are out. I'm excited. They got a smile on my face. I'm screaming their names. We're fist bumping. We're chest bumping. Half the time they're like tucking away, like, really, dad, it's early. Like, leave me alone right now. But I'm excited. I'm hyped up. And, you know, I greet them with like this, like they're my long lost kid that I haven't seen in forever, when I just saw them a couple hours ago before they went to bed. And that is so simple, yet every single morning they get that from me when I'm home, and it's made such a huge difference, and they look forward to it. In fact, sometimes they'll come out and they'll give me like that juke where they look at me and they know I'm going to come get them. So they try to run away and hide. And it's a fun, playful thing, especially when they're young. And my daughter, even at 11, she's a preenager. She kind of shies away from it, but she still appreciates it. So that's something small you can do to make it epic. And on Daddy Saturdays, sometimes I'll get the banner out and have them run through the banner like they're running through the tunnel. Got music playing. You know, it's all about the hype.
That is so it's awesome, fun. Man. You need to get a band, you know, just the whole, right, playing the fight song or something. No, that's right. Great. You know, when I, every single day when I drove my kids to school as well every mm-hmm. morning. And every single morning that I drop my kids off, I'd say to them as they're getting out the door, I go, just remember, it takes a little more to make a champion. And that's one of the common things I say quite a bit. Yeah. And I really believe that, because it's so easy to be average, and it's a lot more difficult to go for things. And that doesn't mean that I have to push them. That doesn't mean that they have to be, you know, get straight A's or get the scholarship to college. It doesn't mean any of those things. It just means do your best and go for it. And that's how you get to achieve great things. And it's all relative upon, you know, what great things are. I was fortunate to play in the NFL for 5 years, but that pales in comparison compared to a guy like Joe Montana, who's a Hall of Famer and won Super Bowls and a superstar and all these things. So it doesn't matter. That was my championship. And so it's just saying those little, you know, those corny little things. So a lot of people would say, okay, listen, man, you're like, you sound like you're the superhero. You're running in Spartan races in the morning. You're getting up, you're working out for a couple of hours, and you've read books, and you listen to podcasts, and you've got banners, and you've got the band in the background, and you're high-fiving your kids coming out of that, and then, you know, off you go, right? So something else you talked about in Father Factors is margin, right? So let's talk about margin, because at the end of the day, you got to have – I mean, we all run on, you know, our energy levels vary, right? And everybody has to have whatever their limit is. So talk more about margin and how people can fit – these things in. Again, they don't have to mimic your life, but in terms of at the end of the day, about really being able to give that kind of attention and that being present element to your kids.
Yeah, I think it's so important, Mark. And this is an area that I constantly struggle with. It doesn't matter because just the society we live in, the access to technology, the demands for convenience and the digital demands on our lives, we're all busy. We're all running 100 miles an hour. So I think there's a couple things you can do to preserve margin. The first thing is pay attention to the tension. Pastor Andy Stanley out of Atlanta, Georgia, does a great talk on this. And he speaks about this tension that we feel in our lives. And oftentimes that's what is the enemy of margin, is when you feel a tension, but you don't pay attention to it. So you end up making the wrong decision. And the tension could be that balance between work and home, as an example. And oftentimes when you start to feel that tension, that's when you realize, hey, I'm out of balance. I need to look for or re-preserve some margin. So that's one thing I've started to do. And for me, it's like I get that kind of heavy feeling in my chest, almost like an anxiety. And I'm not an anxious person. So when I start to get that feeling, I recognize that I've got some tension. So then I pay attention to it. What is it, right? What's driving that? So I think that's really important first and foremost, because it's going to start to manifest internally before it manifests externally. And then it's just looking at your schedule and saying, can I be intentional again in everything that I do? So when I lay out my week, I do it on Sunday nights. I lay out my week. I actually have my calendar for wake up, the time I wake up. So 4:30 a.m., that's when my alarm is set. That's on my calendar. And then at 5 o'clock, I've done 30 minutes of my devotional and prayer time. 5 o'clock, I'm grabbing my breakfast and I'm out the door. And I've got literally all of those laid out at the beginning of my day. And then, as I mentioned, I layer my calendar in. So that really helps preserve margin when you time block and you stack that in. Time blocking is a big piece of that, because that helps you build in rest and recuperation in some of those margin. If you're stacking your day from 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. and literally every half an hour is blocked across that, like, how do you have margin in that? So I leave some time blocks and some space where I can just take a second and zoom out, or just take a break and read a book, or have some me time built into that. And then I think for those that travel, I still travel for work a fair amount. And a travel can be another margin killer, because it's hard, right? There's so much that's out of your control. Weather comes in, you miss a flight, something happens, it can just blow all of that up. So I think, again, just being consistent is a big helper in that. And then when you travel, just again, finding ways to create margin when you travel. So how can you sneak a workout in? I just traveled recently, had to be up super early for a meeting, got in like at 2 a.m. because the flight was delayed the night before, and I didn't get a chance to work out. But after my meeting, literally right beside was this incredible Lifetime Fitness Center in New Jersey. So I had my clothes in my car. I had time before I had to get back to the airport. So I slid in and did an hour workout at this incredible Lifetime Fitness Center, and then made my way back to the airport and flew home. And, I got my workout in for the day, and it just happened to be happenstance, but I was prepared for that to happen. So I think it's another big key. And the final piece with kids is, I would say this, when you do a good job of building in margin and having that flex time, when your kids come up and they say, hey, dad, can you come play catch with me? Or, hey, dad, can we go do this? And you've done that right, you're far more likely to say yes and say yes right then, instead of saying, hey, buddy, give me 10 minutes and I'll come do it. Or, hey, buddy, right now I can't, because you've got that margin built in.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of things in there to unpack. And by the way, the little secret for anybody who ever has experienced any kind of jet lag and you're dealing in different time zones, I'm flying to New York next week. If you want to get through that, go work out. That will get you through your jet lag. It's amazing what pumping some and stressing your body out just a little bit in the morning on a elliptical, or pumping weights, or doing some kind of CrossFit will do for your system and your mental state of mind and everything else. One of the things that is so important for me, and again, another one of these father factors that you bring up, is that at the end of the day, a number of people have asked me this when I've been on their podcast, and they've said, Mark, at the end of the day, what do you want to be remembered for? And the only thing that matters to me is that when all said and done, and they're throwing dirt on me, is that my kids can look at me and say, man, my dad was awesome and he accomplished a lot. And I don't think you can do any of those things if you don't have a true north, as you had mentioned in some of the stuff that I saw that you had written. But it's really important to me. And so I think when again, using the word intentional, when you're intentional about having a true north, then as you back up and different choices come your way on you, you can either go left or you can go right. If you're intentional about trying to be that stand-up dad role model to your kids, I think it helps you make much better decisions about the things that come your way.
Yeah. You know, I found that if you don't have a true north, if you don't have a guiding star, a principle that you're moving towards or a vision, then you're really just aimlessly wandering along this path of fatherhood. I was that way for a long time. And I think most dads are, right? There's no guidebook. People don't give you that book and say, hey, create a mission statement for your family and lay out goals and create a painted picture for where you want your family to be in 20, 30 years from now. Like, that doesn't happen. We do that a lot in business, but it doesn't translate over into our personal lives. And so I was fortunate to be able to take some of those business principles, apply them to my personal life. And I can tell you, Mark, it has made the biggest difference in the growth and development of my children and us as a family and how we're all moving forward together, because we've written it on paper on purpose. I have done a painted picture for my family and laid out exactly where I see them 20 or 30 years from now in great detail. And it's not like the type of thing where you're saying, I want Hayden to be a doctor and Blaine to be a lawyer and that kind of thing. It's about where are they spiritually and physically and mentally and emotionally, and how do I see them and what I know are their strengths and their talents, and how are they using those and applying those in their life at that point? And now I back all that up and say, what do I need to do today at 11, 9, 7, and 5 to help them move towards that vision of where they want to be, what they're called to be, and how can I foster that? And by laying it out on paper on purpose, it really creates the ability to do that. And I think the other thing is, as fathers, we just all need to step up and be really bold in a time where, you know, there's so much demasculinization and there's the feminist movement. And I'm all for, you know, look, I support my wife in her own business. Of anybody, I'm the guy to talk about that because I value what women bring to the marketplace. But at the same time, I feel like there's this huge assault against masculinity, against men. And as fathers, we need to stand up and be bold and take the role of what legacy we want to have as men in this generation and as fathers. And a big product of that is going to be how our kids turn out as young adults. That's how they're going to view our generation and what we're able to do.
No, super cool. So you've written this book called Daddy Saturday. It's got you with your kids, you know, bouncing down the street, having a great time. Looks like, even though the background looks like a green screen or something, I'm just picturing this as they're coming out of the bedrooms at 7 a.m. in the morning and you're high-fiving and everything else going on. But tell me about this movement that you have now created. You've got some momentum. You've done a TEDx talk. Tell me about where and what your goal is overall. Where you're trying to go?
I appreciate the question. So we've got this big ambitious goal to impact 10 million fathers in the next 10 years and to end fatherlessness. And it's our big, hairy, audacious goal. And we intend to do that through two different vehicles. So we've got our for-profit, and the for-profit is really designed to engage and equip fathers. So we've got the book, the TEDx, we have an online community that's launching. Got an Alexa skill, so you can ask Alexa what you should do with your kids in the weekend, and she'll give you an activity based on the weather in your area, Sun Valley, Idaho, probably snowing, so she'll give you an indoor activity, and then she even put the items in your shopping cart. We've got a coaching community. We've got video resources that are coming out, Dad Boxes, which are our subscription box program that gives dads tools right in their homes to engage their kids. So a lot's going on that side. And the reason why we're doing that is because on the other side of things, we've got a nonprofit 501c3 established. And when I set it up, Mark, I wanted to have a substantial and sustainable revenue source on the for-profit side to help drive the nonprofit. Because like so many nonprofits, I didn't want to be out there tin cupping for the ability to raise funds. And I felt that it was really important to use the nonprofit to achieve our goals, but have sustainable funding sources in the for-profit side to help drive it. So we've done that on the for-profit. The nonprofit is serving four populations. The incarcerated, clearly a form of fatherlessness. 75% of all inmates today have suffered from fatherlessness. Think about that. So, and they're perpetuating it because they're now incarcerated and their kids are at home without a father in most cases. The National Guard, working in the weekends away from their kids and their family, both males and females. And then the opportunity zones, which are low-income areas for economic investment that have a lot of economic programs, but very few social programs. And then we've also are serving first responders, so firefighters, police, EMTs, et cetera. who have just an amazing job and work so hard and very hard to preserve margin in those types of roles. So we're serving them through our dad boxes, community coaches that we're establishing, and several other programs. So that's the Where Daddy Saturday is today. And then we actually, breaking news, so we just had our first international fatherhood fellow, as we call them. So I've got a gentleman in Kenya, Africa, who is our first fatherhood fellow, and he is working to restore fatherhood and teach fatherhood programs and help the fathers there in Kenya.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So I assume where people can find you and all these different programs is through daddysaturday.com.
That's right. Best place to find us. We're all over social media and every channel as well, at Daddy Saturday or at The Daddy Saturday.
Okay, cool. Well, I want to be your affiliate station here in Sun Valley, Idaho, if I can be of any kind of assistance to you.
Awesome, man. I appreciate that. Well, we do owe you a trip up there. I've always wanted to get to Idaho. It's one of the few states I haven't been to, so we need to come up there and visit.
I'd love to have you, and we'll go do Bora, the highest mountain in Idaho. It's quite a ride to drive down there and then actually climb this thing. 5,000 feet, 4 miles, 5,000 feet, which is pretty insane, straight up.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I really appreciate you coming on the show, and you're doing great stuff. Continue to keep going down that particular path, and your kids are going to, you know, obviously benefit from this, and not just them, but, you know, the other people around, the lives that you're going to touch. It's amazing. And it's a very ambitious goal, but a goal that we all need. So I appreciate you and what you're doing for the world.
Thank you, Mark. You as well. Good luck on your next summit, and can't wait to come visit you in Idaho.
All right. He is Justin. Take care.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
Attention parents and grandparents. If you're looking for a gift that's more than just a toy, give them something that inspires confidence and adventure all year long. Give them a Guardian bike, the easiest, safest, and number one kids bike on the market. With USA-made, kid-specific frames and patented safety technology, kids are learning to ride in just one day. No training wheels needed. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, Guardian is offering their biggest deal of the year. Up to 40% in savings on all bikes, plus $100 in free accessories. Guardian bikes have become the most sought-after gifts of the season. And inventory is going fast, so don't wait. Join over 500,000 happy families who've discovered the magic of Guardian. Shop now at guardianbikes.com. That's guardianbikes.com.